It's impossible to overstate the significance historically of today and Sunday, because as I prayed earlier, this is when the whole process of the new creation began. Between Good Friday and Easter and even the Ascension, God accomplished recreating what the enemy tried to steal forever. If you think in terms of eternity past, there's this dream that God had. It's an amazing dream that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit shared together. And that dream was that they would create a people to be in union with God, to actually share His life, so that those people could be invited to be included into the fellowship of the triune God. It's amazing. The God who loves, the God who gives, wanted to include us, a creature, a person, a people, because of their union with Him, into the fellowship that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit share and enjoy. But also, because of our union with Him, that we would reveal His likeness to a world. And in revealing His likeness, that we would fulfill a specific assignment to bring heaven to earth, exercise His dominion on the earth. That's a big dream. And He was so passionate, God, so passionate about that dream, He wanted to see that dream realized no matter what cost it might require. Because of the fall, because of mankind being deceived into believing they can be like God without union with God, this virus, this evil disease called sin, entered and was ruining everything that constituted God's dream, to have a people in union with Him that would enjoy the fellowship of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit seated in the heavenly places, that would reveal His likeness, that would exercise His dominion, bringing heaven to earth. And so the solution was the death of Christ. And when we talk about the cross in this context, we're talking about the death, resurrection of Jesus. Paul referred to that cross as both of those things when he would use the word the cross. Jesus died on the cross because God's undaunted love for us, His relentless love for us, was so profound that He refused to let us perish. We've referenced this from time to time over the years, but John 3:16 would probably be the most famous scripture. It's the football verse, right? And you see it at football games everywhere. God so loved the world. Now hear those words. God, in light of His dream, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would just believe in Him would no longer perish, but have everlasting life or eternal life. The word perish there, we've mentioned before, is a word that just means to spoil or to ruin. Eternal life isn't chronological, though it does last forever. Eternal life, that's really a bad translation. The word eternal just means age or the age of the kingdom of heaven. So eternal life is just the life of union with God restored. And so the Lord said that He sent Jesus to die because He so loved the world that He was not willing for human beings to perish, for His dream to be ruined, for what He had planned for us to be spoiled. But the result of sin and the infection of sin in all humanity drove the one who would pay any price to see this dream fulfilled, that He sent His Son because He refused to let us perish, and He knew the only solution was for a recreation of mankind, which required our death and our resurrection and our ascension into that place of being seated in the heavenly places with Christ, again in union with the fellowship of the triune God. It's remarkable stuff. That's why we talked a lot about this week, is that we're not just talking about what Jesus did on the cross and how amazing His love was, but what did Jesus die on the cross for? What happened on the cross? Fallen, broken, sin-diseased humanity was taken to the cross in Christ and crucified. Sins were forgiven. He took on our sins, but forgiveness of sins is just the thing that God had to do to remove, that had to be paid for, because He was wanting to recreate something. The cross and the resurrection was God's recreation. It was God's masterpiece. It was your history being changed. This is your day, not just His day. It was your day in Him. It was His day for you. He did it to recreate you and me. and was willing to pay whatever price he had to pay, even his own son. That's remarkable to you, to me. That's how invested he is into our being those who live life and life more abundant in Christ. That's why it's so ridiculous for a Christian who blows it regularly to think somehow God gives up on you. The very fact that Jesus went to the cross to recreate you should be proof to you that he never gives up on you. That's the whole point. He went to the cross because he refused to give up on you when you were lost. This is from a lady called Catherine of Siena. She lived many centuries ago, but she wrote this statement. She's one of the most famous Christians in church history. She said this, "You high eternal Trinity acted as if you were drunk with love, infatuated with your creature. You, sweetness itself, stooped to join yourself with our bitterness. You, splendor itself, join yourself with our darkness. You, wisdom itself, join yourself to our foolishness. You, who are life, join yourself with death. You, the infinite, joined with us who are finite. What drove you to do this could be nothing but divine madness." Good Friday is about the divine madness of God, who was drunk with love, infatuated with his creature, and the dream he had for us. So today, as you come, those of you get to come back tonight for Station of the Cross or your home, whatever, when you think about this day, think about your history. We've said this week several times, but that self that you have a hard time with, that seems to be struggles all the time, that gives in to the reign of the disease of sin, with issues like lust and greed and anger and envy and jealousy and pride and addiction, that self was crucified really before the foundation of the world. But it was actualized and made incarnational 2,000 years ago at the cross. The person you don't want to be anymore, you don't have to be. He crucified that person, buried that person. And on Sunday we'll celebrate that a whole new person that has been woven into the very fabric of the existence of Jesus rose from the grave in Christ. This thought has just wrecked me all week long. I'm not a pilgrim who's walking along in appreciation of what Jesus did on the cross. No, I'm a person who walked the same walk and went to the cross in Christ. That was the whole point. So I could be a whole new person. Not just any kind of new person, but a new person whose union with God has been restored in Christ. That every day I can know the extraordinary, remarkable, joy-filled fellowship of the triune God as one seated in the heavenly places in Christ. I have a place at that table. That's my identity. And I get to live on this earth manifesting his likeness to others so that they can experience the reality of life as it's lived in heaven as they encounter me. And doing that, I exercise his dominion on the earth. Bring other people into the dream. It helps you understand what it means to be lost. Going to hell is just the final consequence of being lost. Being lost means living life apart from what makes you work, which is your union with God. And it's now ours restored in Christ. There's a verse, and then I'll end it here. We mentioned this the other day in 1 Peter. I just wanted to read it again. 1 Peter 1, verse 6 says, and this is contained in Scripture, but I lay in Zion a choice stone, precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him shall not be disappointed. No Christian, no person who's been restored into the dream of being in union with God should ever live life disappointed. All the disappointments have been swallowed up in the victory of Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.